A Sadducee once came to Jesus to test him. And he asked him this question. He said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus responded, saying, "To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself." John Wesley, in a sermon, once said that love is the fulfilling of the law, the end of the commandment. It is not only the first and great commandment, but all of the commandments in one. The royal law of heaven is this: thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and mind and strength. If we take a step back and we look at the Christian faith, I think we would find at its very core two things: that we have been saved by grace, by the perfecting love of Jesus Christ, and that we are to love God and to love one another. If you haven't picked up on it yet this morning, we're talking about love. And as we talk about love, this huge word, it's only four letters, but in the English language it means so many different things. I think it is important that we have a foundation about what I mean when I say love. And I don't know that there is anywhere so clearly painted a picture of perfect love as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. Paul says that if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver my body over to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now, I don't know about you, but when I take a step back and I look at my life and the way that I love in comparison to this picture of God's love, this perfect love, it doesn't quite match up. Maybe you're with me, I don't know. But when I read this, I don't read it saying that love is patient and kind unless the person that you're meeting with shows up 15 minutes late, or unless your wife takes too long to do her hair in the morning and it causes you to be late for church. Paul doesn't say that love does not envy or boast unless you finally win that argument and you get to say those coveted words, "I was right, you were wrong, I told you so." Paul doesn't say it is not irritable unless somebody cuts you off in traffic. See, if we take our lives and we line them up next to perfect love, we might see that, in fact, we aren't terrible people, but we're not perfect either. We don't quite love all the time. In fact, there are some times where I really just kind of want to bump that person in front of me that just cut me off. Just a little bit, not enough to hurt them. Just a... And if you're at all like me, and there are times where you don't love, I think that we should be a little bit alarmed. Because if we don't have love, God is not in us. Now, you might be thinking, that's a bold statement. But 1 John goes as far as to say exactly this. If you don't have love, God is not in you, because God is love. Therefore, in those moments where somebody cuts you off in traffic, if God is in you, then his love is pouring through you. That's a hard word. But there's hope. It's okay. I'm not here to just like put everybody down. There's hope. And it comes from 1 John. He says three different times, by this love is perfected. By this love is perfected. And there is a word, a single word in this phrase that gives us hope. Is. See, John doesn't say, by this love was perfected. That word was, it means that it's done, it's over, it's been completed. Therefore, if you don't have that love in you, I'm sorry, you missed out. But the word is, it's present tense. It means that this is a growing process, that God is constantly doing a work of perfection in our lives. And this is good news. God is constantly doing a work of perfection in our lives. Are any of you artistic? You like to draw or create things or do artsy stuff? Anybody? All right, I've got one person, two people. All right, cool. Some people are artistic. RJ and Alicia tend to make fun of me occasionally because when I was interviewing, they asked me to describe myself. And apparently one of the first things I said was that I'm an artist. I don't know why, but apparently that's funny. I love art. I'm passionate about art. I always have been. I've had this natural inclination since I was a kid to create things and to take these images that I have in my mind and these ideas and bring them to life. And throughout my life, I've been honing this process, this ability to create art. And I'm far from good at it, but it's still a process that you go through. And a part of that process is watching people who are better than you do what you're trying to do. The part of this process of becoming better at something, it's watching the masters work. Seeing how their hands move and how different techniques that they use and taking some of their ideas and their styles and trying to adapt that and to emulate that in your own life. Now, I don't have a lot of like master artists around me, so I resort to the next best thing, YouTube. I watch these videos called time lapses or speed paints. It's usually done on Photoshop, but it's an 8-hour process that they have condensed into a 5-minute video. And I just love watching these artists create art. And it always gets to about the 2-minute mark in the painting, and I think, wow, that is amazing. If only I could do that. Like, if I could get my art to look like that, I would be satisfied. I'd call it quits right there. But they keep going, and they keep adding stuff. And I think to myself, what more could they possibly do to make this look any better? But then they add a reflection over here, or a shadow over there. They see somewhere where an arm has been kind of twisted the wrong way, and so they correct it. They see a tree that's casting a shadow in a direction that the sun isn't shining. And so they correct it. And it's this process of perfecting their creation. And by the time they get to that 5-minute mark where you see the final piece of art in front of you, it is infinitely more beautiful than what I would have been satisfied with at the 2-minute mark. God is doing a work of perfection in our lives. He is doing a a work in us constantly. And we could say, you know, I'm not a terrible person. I don't hate people. I think I'm probably good enough. And we just live our lives. But if we let God do his work of perfection in us, by the time that we get to that 5-minute mark, the image that we see will be infinitely more beautiful than the picture of the world that we're looking at right now. So what does this process look like? How do we go through the process of a perfection of love? I think that 1 John, he gives us a couple of ideas. He gives us two themes when we look at these verses about the perfection of love, two themes that arise. And I'm not going to have you guys turn there. I'm just going to read through them real quick. If you want to write them down, you can, and look at them later. That's up to you. But 1 John 2:5 says that whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. In 1 John 4:12, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected in us. Two themes. The first is that we are perfected in love through obedience to the word and will of God. And the second, and this is quickly becoming one of my favorite words, abide. See, to abide, it means to stay, to dwell, to make this place your home, to remain there. So when it says abide in Christ, it means to stay with Christ. Abide in love. Keep loving. Make love your home. Last week, Pastor talked about John 14, where it says that in God's house are many rooms. And you described that this word rooms, it's actually the word, it finds its root in this word abide. It's an abode. And he said that it's not about the place, but it's about dwelling in a presence with a person. Later in John 14, Jesus says that if anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. It's that same word, that abode. Now, if this idea doesn't excite you, I don't think you heard me right. If we dwell in the presence of God, God will dwell with us. If we dwell in the presence of God, God will dwell with us. That makes this idea of seeking God so much easier, because if we just turn our eyes to God and we seek his presence, he is there with us. He's staying with us. See, this is how love is perfected. Because you know that if you have ever spent any amount of time with people, you start to pick up on their mannerisms. You start to speak like they speak and act like they act. Occasionally, you'll even change some fashion and you start to actually physically look like those people that you spend a lot of time with. Dawson was just telling us last night about how he spent some time in Australia recently. And he says, my Australian accent gotten really good. See, when you spend time with people, you become like them. My sister, see, my family, we grew up in Ohio, all right? But we have family in Tennessee. And my sister, from a little age, like tiny little person, would go to Tennessee. We'd spend like 4 or 5 days down there. And we'd come back. And as soon as we got down to Tennessee, you know, she starts to pick up on that southern twang. And it's super thick. And she'd come back to Ohio, and for like a week after that, she's speaking with this southern accent. And we did this like every other year or so for our whole lives. And then something terrible happened. She moved there. Oh, man. She's picked up on that southern accent. She's spent time around these people and have started to emulate their speech habits. And now, whenever she gets angry or upset, like if her kid is getting into something he's not supposed to, her voice, it like the accent gets thicker and thicker. And I'm on the phone with her and I hear her and I was like, oh, she's gone full southern. And she's picked up on these phrases. My favorite one, I want to teach it to you guys. It says, I'm fixin' to. Yeah, I'm fixin' to. If you don't speak Southern, that means I'm planning on doing this thing. It's like, I'm going to do that. I'm fixin' to. Oh, it's great. See, when we spend time with people, we begin to pick up on who they are, and we begin to look like them. And if this is true with people, and naturally it's going to be true with God. So if we spend time in the presence of God, we're going to start to look like God. We're going to start to act like God. We're going to love like God loves. We'll even pick up on a God accent a little bit. It's only natural, because if we spend time with people, we become like people. So if we spend time with God, we'll become like God. Except that God's not just people. God's God. And God is constantly doing a work of perfection in our lives. So that when we spend time with him, he is dwelling with us, he's staying with us, and he is doing a work in us. Now, what I'm about to tell you guys, I get a lot of flack for. See, when most people start to describe their perfect weather, all right, like you'd probably describe something like this morning. Skies are blue, a couple of white, like, cotton balls floating around up there, like a slight breeze, about 70 to 75 degrees somewhere in there. It's like most people say that is perfect weather. When I describe my perfect weather, I'm seeing overcast, gray skies as far as the eye can see, with like a little drizzle or a mist. So, oh, I love that. I love being out in the mist. It calms me. It brings me joy. And usually when I tell people that, they look at me like you are. And occasionally, you know, get those torrential downpours, and you go and you stand out in this torrential downpour, and it's just a blast. In fact, a couple of months ago, we actually went out in one of these torrential downpours, and we played frisbee in it. Oh, it was fun. Yeah, it was good. And because I love this weather, I don't believe in using umbrellas. Like, I don't actually own an umbrella. So when I go into places after I've been caught in the rain, it's like I'm always totally drenched. You know what this is like if you've ever been caught in the rain. Head to toe drenched. Like my clothes are all dripping everywhere. My hair is like down in my face. My beard grew 3 inches. And it's like everywhere I walk, I'm leaving like a trail of water. And inevitably, somebody comes up to you. It's like, wow, you're wet. Yeah, yes, I'm wet. I was just out in the rain. It's wet outside. Of course I'm wet. See, God is constantly doing a work in us. He's like the rain, constantly pouring down. He's doing the work, but we do have a role to play. See, we have to step out into the rain. We have to put our umbrellas down and soak it up a little bit. See, a lot of times we get so caught up in busyness of life that we stay inside. And we don't actually get those moments to go out and spend time in the rain, to be saturated by the perfecting work of God. We have to put our umbrellas down and soak it up. And we do this through things that we call means of grace, spiritual disciplines. Things that we can do that open ourselves up to receive the work that God is doing in us. And if you want to actually like really dive in to spiritual disciplines, come talk to me. I've got a couple books that I'll recommend. But things like reading scripture, studying the word, memorizing it. When we do that, when we spend time in the word, we're going out and we're resting in the mists of God's presence. When we pray, we are standing in the torrential downpour of God's grace. When we fast or practice solitude or silence or meditation, we are going out and we are enjoying the rains of God. When we come into church on Sunday morning and we stand together and we worship, we are going out together as a church and playing in the rain and dancing in the presence of God. And oh, it's so good. And can you imagine a church where all of the people go out and play in the rain? Oh man, we're going to be one wet church. And inevitably, we're going to walk somewhere and somebody's going to come up to you. And they're going to say, hey, you're wet. Yeah, I'm wet. I was just out in the rain. It's wet outside. It's pouring. And I was playing in it. And I'm better for it. You should go play in it too. God is doing a work in us, a work of perfection in us, if we let him. See, we've been asking this question for a couple of months now. How do we become the church that serves? What if the answer is that we become a church that loves? That we become a church that goes out and plays in the rain, so that we can know and become so familiar with the fact that we are in fact saved by the grace of God, and that we love God and we love one another, and that God's love is pouring through us and dripping off of us and spreading everywhere we go, so that we can be a church that loves. See, God is doing a work of perfection in us. And we could stop right now and say, you know, we're good enough. Or we can let him keep drawing. We can let him continue the process so that at that 5-minute mark, how beautiful will that be? We're going to stand in just a minute. We're going to sing together in closing. We're going to sing the song, Beautiful Things. And as we're standing, we're going to be running out into the rain and singing together these words. You make beautiful things out of us. Let's stand together and dance in the rain.